Welcome to the Espresso Boys podcast. This week, we are talking about Caleb's stand-up comedy and the black hole. Come on through and hang on out with us. Oh, I'm your bad boy, Espresso Boy, Brandon Thompson.
Oh, and I'm Holly. Your cute boy, Espresso Boy, Caleb Tegeler. Let's jump right into this part. Let's get right into the next section of this cast. We got a little bit of updates. Just one, actually. I don't know if you have any.
Just life updates? The city updates?
Yeah. And it's a short one from me. But I was at work this morning. 105 Sansom Street. Come see. Hi.
Go ahead.
And I was on pour overs.
Mm-hmm.
Right to my right is the espresso machine.
Yeah.
And one of my coworkers was on milk. So we were right next to each other. Having a great time. Somebody ordered a latte. A usual. Her name's
classic.
Linda.
Oh, okay. Linda. Like a regular customer.
Yeah, regular customer. Comes in, she gets the same thing. But we always have a little bit of issues with her in that, like, if you don't fill the cup, like, she'll make you remake the whole thing.
You need that surface tension in a big way.
No, seriously. Wow. It has to be overflown.
My God.
Legitimately. And so...
She'll make you remake it?
Remake it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And so, my coworker, he, like, knew about it, but he just wasn't paying attention to the name or something. Yeah. He set the drink out, and he said... A latte for Linda. Linda, and I'll tell you this: the cup was full. It's a 12-ounce cup. There was 12 ounces of liquid in there
for sure.
There wasn't 12 she wanted and a half, 12.5 or whatever. So she gets it and she's like, looks at it and then looks at him and he's like, "Oh, hey, thanks so much for coming in." He was just gracious.
Nothing
but love coming from him.
Killing
the beat four. And she's like, "Are you serious?"
Oh my God!
And he was like, "Yeah, you know, have a great day." And she's like,
"I always have issues with you."
And she started screaming at him.
Like literally screaming?
Yes.
Like Quiet the Cafe screaming?
Not Quiet the Cafe.
But like...
But loud. She got loud.
Wow. All right.
And he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am." And then he was like, I could get you a new drink. She's like,
"Happens to me every time you're on board."
Oh my God.
And she was like hecka pissed at him. And so he like had just steamed another pitcher of milk for the next drink. And so he just like topped her off and was like, "Have a good day, ma'am." And then she like took it and left.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. So right now at South Park, 2 South Park.
What's the address?
It's 2 South Park in San Francisco. Beautiful San Francisco. We're doing the cashless test.
Nice. That's nice, huh?
No.
No?
God.
Oh.
It's not a test. It's like, all right, we did the test. It failed. It doesn't work here. It doesn't work with where we're at. It's few and far between the people who complain, but when they complain,
yeah,
holy crap, bro. It's like you've just told them that they are not American citizens anymore. Like you've taken away every right that they have. Oh my gosh, dude. And like there's one guy that comes through every single day. He's weirdly enough, he's very wealthy, so he might be out of town. I haven't seen him in a couple of days, but comes through every day, every single time, and specifically says, "Let me talk to Brandon." I'm like, all right. Talks to me. He's like, "I want to complain." I'm like, all right. Your complaint. Every single day, at least twice a day. And the first time that we went cashless, he like came up. I was doing some stuff off to the side. And then one of my coworkers was like, "Hey, he wants to talk to you." So I'm like, "Oh yeah, for sure." And let's just say his name's Rick. Yeah. And go up there. I'm like, "Rick, what's up, man?" And he's like, "What's this going on with cashless?" And I thought he was kidding because he has a weird personality in general.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Yeah, dude, you're out of town that whole time, man." Like when we were announcing it, it's a cashless test. We're going to try it out for a little while. And he was like, "This is absolutely ridiculous. This is an invasion of privacy." And like now he starts getting a little bit like riled up. I'm like, "Oh, like you aren't playing games." And he's like, "You're turning into Facebook. You're turning into Twitter. You're turning into all these ridiculous, like, no wonder Trump wants to take over America." I'm like, "What is happening, dude?" And, dude, he just starts popping off. And so every single time he's come in, he has some new argument to put up. And, like, every single time, I'm like, "Dude, this is a test.
Yeah.
It might not stick. Let's just see how it goes."
Also, like, that's a little above your pay grade.
For sure. And then, definitely. And then also at the same time, what brings me to this point is why come into Blue Bottle anymore? If you're this upset about it, same thing with Linda.
Sweet, sweet Linda.
Sweet, sweet Linda. maybe it's time to find a new cafe that suits your needs a little better, yeah. more consistently. I'm yeah. not saying that we can't do that for you at Blue Bottle, but I'm just saying, you know, what are the, like, are you really that, is it really that worth rolling the dice on this one and flipping the coin and just yeah. seeing like, is today going to be the day that, you know, my morning is completely ruined because some freaking guy on the machine didn't fill my cup up yeah. more than, you know, 104%.
More than what you paid for?
Yeah. Or is it worth maybe just going somewhere else? Or are you just looking for things to be mad about? And that's something I found. You know, a lot of people have their routine set in place. They're just looking for something to be so upset about.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys,
yeah.
you're going to be okay. Going back to Rick here real quick, now that I'm thinking about it, he does this thing where he consistently says, you. Like, you are becoming, one of his newest ones is that you are discriminating against poor people. And I said, Rick, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all. And he's like, yeah, no, you are discriminating against poor people. I'm like, I promise you this much. Literally in the handbook, it says, we welcome everyone. Everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
Right here at Blue Bottle. Walk through those doors. We welcome you. No matter what. I get what you're saying. I understand how that might be conveyed. But that's not what we're doing. Yeah. This is literally a test. And we're just seeing how it goes. So far, it's not going well, Rick. We might switch back. I don't know. I appreciate your feedback. But first off, don't tell me this is something that I'm doing. Yeah. And I'm personally doing
this. Oh, Brandon, you hate poor people.
You hate poor people. You are a capitalist pig. You are becoming like Facebook.
You're a Trumpster.
Literally, you are the one that supports Donald Trump. I have reported you to the supervisor of San Francisco. Like, dude, goes off on it. So anyways.
Because yeah. you're the highest person.
Oh, dude, as far as Blue Bottle is concerned, it's me. It goes me, James Freeman, Brian Meehan. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people get weird about their routines in the morning, man. You mess with that, my God.
Yeah.
You mess with something big. You mess with their soul.
I get everybody's busy in the morning.
Sure.
But, like, I think Blue Bottle especially, it's very quality over quantity.
For sure.
You know you're going to wait a little bit
yep.
if for a drink if you come during a rush. And so, like, don't come in.
Right. You know
if,
what?
If you know there's a chance you might be late, don't it's blame
sort of,
us.
It's sort of like American culture. You know that it's going to be anywhere you go, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10.
Yeah.
It's going to be busy.
Yeah.
That's commuting hours. Like, you can't get around it. So it almost makes me annoyed when I'm already in, like, I'm at my, you know, 6 o'clock to 4 o'clock day yeah. happening personally. This, you know. 6 o'clock to 4 o'clock day, and then
day.
You come in at 8:30, and you're tapping your little freaking toe, trying to figure out why it's taking so long. It's because literally everyone's doing yeah. this at the same exact time, and then you get all up on my grill about it. I'm like, this is on you. This is fully on you. You stood in that line, yeah. and sure, there's the opportunities that we could have maybe picked it up a little bit, but like you gotta understand, you're walking into this yourself. So, anyways, you know, people out there, you gotta understand. First off, a lot of the stuff is not in our control. Second of all, be smart. Is that too much? I don't think so.
We had a guy come in and I was like off to the side doing other stuff. So I wasn't necessarily involved in the conversation. But I guess his drink was taking a little longer than he'd like.
Sure.
And so he was like, come on guys, what is this, rocket science? Which is like, okay, I can guarantee you that guy, whatever he does not do anything involving rocket science. So if rocket science is the standard of like, if that's the standard to be able to do whatever you want and to not like interrupt anyone else's day, then you're not doing rocket science either.
You aren't doing it either, my friend.
You have no room to complain, all right? Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, calm down.
Oh, good point, dude. Good point. We'll get right on it.
Oh, it isn't rocket science. So I could take
guys,
my time,
everyone,
baby.
Stop what you're doing. This isn't rocket science.
I hadn't looked at it from that perspective.
We're not bitter. We're better. Okay?
Ooh, that's deep.
You like that?
I like to say it one more time.
We're not bitter. We're better.
We're not bitter. We're bitter.
We're not bitter. Huh. We're mad. What else? Anything else going on in your world in the last week?
Yes, we'll get into that in just a minute.
Yeah, we will.
I was doing some grocery shopping earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the local Whole Foods.
Sure.
And I was just doing some thinking while I was there. And I thought of a great business idea. I want mm-hmm. you to be the first person who could hop on with me.
Okay.
I don't have a name for it yet, but it's a cold pizza place.
Nice.
You like cold pizza?
I do like cold pizza.
Why not sell it cold?
Would that almost convey that it's not fresh, though?
No, it's freshly cold. How fast can you freeze a pizza?
Dude, they have some crazy technology out there these days. I wouldn't be surprised if you can't just light that thing up and light the thing down, I guess, in temperature. That's a great idea, actually.
I think it's a good idea.
People joked about Seinfeld, you know, when Kramer was like, you bake your own pie.
Yeah.
Biology.
And the
so on and so forth.
The muffin tops.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, too. They sell muffin tops. So laugh at me now, but no, in 30 years, you guys will all be eating cold pizza fresh out the oven.
That's a really good idea. I eat cold pizza all day long. Now, I wonder, though, is there some sort of scientific progress that we're going to have to make to get it to, like, that refrigerator cold? It's not quality, right? Like, it's not quality. Is there just some sort of, like, sentimental value to a refrigerated cold pizza the night after?
I mean, everybody loves it.
Everyone loves it. Everybody. You've seen the, you've seen 30 Rock?
I've seen some, yeah.
There was one particular scene where these two CEOs were arguing about cold pizza, and it was very funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not going to butcher it.
Go ahead.
I won't try. But you should look it up. It's really great. But, cold pizza is the best kind of pizza. I dare say, if you hand me one hot pizza versus one cold pizza, I, honest to God, I might just 9 times out of 10 go for the cold pizza.
Wow.
Because here's what I'm thinking in my head. Let's take any sort of sicknesses or bacterias out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is just cold versus hot. How much more of a gamble are you running into with the hot? How hot?
How cold?
I refrigerator cold, okay. Right? We're not like gambling on that. Yeah. Like, it's refrigerator cold or hot pizza.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Pizza, the temperature can vary pretty dramatically.
You get some molten cheese stuck on the roof of your mouth.
Ooh, you're getting a blister, bud.
That's a tough day.
That's a blister, bud.
I'll take cold pizza. Thank you. So that's a good business plan. I support it.
And then at the Whole Foods, I saw these two girls who I assume to be around my age.
Wow, dude.
Thanks, man.
Well done.
Thanks, man.
Nice, bro.
I saw them.
Done.
And then I saw a male who went and talked to one of them, and I assume he was like, maybe like hitting on her a little bit, trying to get her number. But then it made me think, is that offensive to the friend he didn't ask out?
Ooh.
Is he saying,
is he saying
you're ugly?
No, I bet.
You think it is offensive?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I bet you the question number one was he didn't go up to him and say, both of you at the same time, are you in a relationship with anyone? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, go. And then
based on
the person that said no, he's like, okay, I'm only going to talk to this one. Are you cool with that? Mm-hmm. Chances are he just, tractor beam.
For the one he likes.
That's the one right here. Beeline straight to that one. The other one, I bet.
I'd love if any of you, if any ladies out there have any experiences with this, I'd love for you to DM us or something on Instagram. Tell us your story, because whether you're the ugly friend or not, and listen, we love all. Everybody's welcome here.
Yikes!
You're all welcome.
Yikes! Let me get that shovel right out of your hand here. Thank you. Also, I think we might be looking at this a little bit different. Maybe she's relieved that because I'm assuming in that scenario, like if you're just picturing it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
There's two Samanthas, and I go up to them, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to dare
say. That's a good save.
Yeah, I'm not going to dare say anything else past that.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I'm awesome, and I know that any Samantha out there, Samantha, specifically Samantha Sue Hawley, she'd be, like, into me in a big way.
I don't know where this is going.
You know what I mean? So just put a bunch of clones is what I'm trying to say. And this, I'm just trying to paint a scenario in which that I'm not hitting on random women, right? I'm just hitting on Samantha Hawley.
Maybe a scenario where you're not married, opposed to cloning.
I'm not even gonna suggest that. I'm just gonna say I'm very much married. And I'm gonna hit on my wife, right? That's fair. I can do that, but it doesn't really apply. So why don't you tell me what you think?
Let's swap the roles a little bit, okay? You and this is, let's say you're in.
Should I put on a dress?
No, you're good. Come back. let's say you're an unmarried man. You're hanging out with your boy. I don't know. Maybe Cameron Barron's friend of the podcast.
Why not you?
Dylan Baker, friend of the podcast. Because I'm talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
You're hanging out with your boys.
Yeah,
I was thinking you pre-marriage. I didn't really know you.
All right.
And some girl comes up and goes to Dylan Baker and says, hey, I'd like to get your number.
Cameron would be offended. I don't know. I don't know. Because I'm married. So
can you answer?
I think I can answer for Cameron and say that that one might be like a maybe like a you went for that. You know what I mean?
What are you saying about Dylan?
Not anything against Dylan per se. The Paperboy's got a warm place in my heart. I'm just saying, like, for Cameron, I think for Cameron, it's more of like, what do you think Cameron's saying about Dylan? You know what I mean? Because I think Cameron might be offended by that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Not me.
So if you're the ugly friend out there, I mean, let's look at it this way, though. If you and another person are hanging out,
yeah,
one of you is uglier. Just that's a fact.
I guess that's true. Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard reality. I mean, that might be somewhat subjective. Tough, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it is very subjective.
You could have two beautiful people, but one is uglier than the other.
That just sounds so tough. That's what I'm just saying.
Say it again. One's uglier than the other.
Our next poll on the podcast is which one of us is the ugliest?
Who's uglier? Yeah,
that's,
I guess,
not
the
a reality
uglier
I want
one.
To swallow. Listen, guys, I opt out of this test. I'm okay
You're
with
married.
Myself.
Why
I'm
do you
good.
Care?
I mean, I still want to be attractive to the general public. I don't want to be the ugly espresso boy.
That's
know?
Not your. That's we'll get somebody else with that name.
God, yeah. This is tough, dude. This is a tough. I don't know if I like where this. I don't know if I like where the direction of the podcast is going. Us as a unit is going. I'm having a real existential
crisis. One of
crisis.
Us is uglier, Brandon.
Yikes!
And I know who I think it is.
What if that's just the most shallow, you know, viewpoint ever? What if it does someone have to be, because it is subjective, right?
Yeah.
Does that, who we just, what is the scale?
Well, it's subjective to everybody, I
that's
guess.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But it is a fact to some people.
To some. So
it's
a fact
to everybody, but subjective to everybody.
That is contradictive. I will say that much. All right. So I think right here on the Expressive Voice podcast, we figured out that there is not an uglier person in
the
group.
Is.
Can't be. I guess there can be.
There
oh, this sucks, dude. This hurts my head.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move
it's
on
just
past
a simple
this.
Question.
Let's just say this. You know what?
Everybody's ugly in their own way.
Let's just say, let's just say everyone's ugly.
Everyone's
you know what
ugly
I mean?
In their own way.
Thank you for listening to the Expressive Voice podcast.
Oh, we're not done.
But no way. I want to, real quick.
Yeah.
Let's think about the opposite of this. We're assuming that this person coming up to this group of girls here is like, we're assuming that this is a flattering thing in which the girl who did not get hit on was offended because she did not get hit on.
It's not a matter of not getting hit on, but I do see that.
You know what
I
mean?
Think it's a matter of like, this person was chosen over me.
I guess. I think that's a personal thing though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, but I think that's a, you know, and if you're listening to the podcast, if this, you know,
if you're ugly,
if you were
and you're
that
listening.
One, come talk to us. We'll give you some moral support here because that's a personal thing and you don't need to feel that way. You know what I mean? Because again, I'll bank on this that we don't know this dude. We don't know what he's about. Yeah. I don't even know what he looked like. You have a better idea than that one. I don't even know if he's attractive or not.
Yeah,
I can also say that just me as a personal individual, if a woman came up to me and started hitting on me, I wouldn't be comfy with it. No matter what. No matter what. I'd be weird about it. Mm-hmm. For sure. So, we, you know, flip the coin here. Which side are we looking at? I don't think, I, you know, well, maybe this other person's just relieved that they didn't get hit on.
No, that's a good point. One of them's ugly, though.
You heard it from the cute boy, expressive boy. He thinks everyone's ugly.
Yeah.
Me, the bad boy, expressive boy. I think you're all beautiful.
I'm a half glass empty kind of guy.
Yeah.
For a half glass, glass half ugly kind of guy.
Yikes. Okay. This is very off the cuff here. It just reminded me because I went to the store today as well.
Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you. There was a guy named Jeff. He was a courtesy clerk. He was the one that bagging your groceries for you. Probably late 40s, not in the best of shape, had a bit of some, he had some thin, long hair.
Okay.
You get the picture I'm painting here.
Oh, I picture loud and clear.
Now, what do you spy on his left hand ring finger?
A ring?
A big old nasty ring. What kind of ring was this? The Golden State Warriors championship ring.
Married to his team, baby.
Married to his team. Now, I'm going to guess... this is not an authentic Golden State Warriors championship ring.
You don't think this guy's on the...
I don't know. I'm not going to be too quick to judge because maybe the GOAT of the Golden State Warriors is Jeff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I, you know, last year I did follow the team, but not too closely. Maybe something slipped by me. I don't know. But then I'm just going to assume that it wasn't a real Golden State Warriors championship ring, which then made drew up a bunch of different questions in my head. Like, how was he wearing this ring? Now, you might be thinking, well, he was wearing it on his finger. No, no, no. I want to say, like, how was he wearing this ring emotionally?
Oh.
Was he wearing this ring in the sense of, like, A, I'm a fool someone to think that this is the real deal. B, I-D-A-F. I-D-G-F.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. I don't give a frick.
I don't give a frick. I just think it's cool. I'm going to wear it like that.
Bad boy.
Or like three, what you just said. I'm married to the team, baby. I'm going to support these boys back. And I promise you this much. It did not look comfortable to wear. So this was commitment through and through.
Purple finger.
Dude, it was huge. It was massive on his hand. Like his hand finger was sticking up a good 3 centimeters high from the rest of his fingers when just resting.
You think he's just showing it off?
That's what I'm wanting. Dude, so like, purpose. I gotta wonder. And I'm hoping, I'm banking on B of just like, I don't care. I just think it's cool. I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case. But it just drummed up a bunch of different questions for me inside my head. And it really got me wondering about Jeff, and maybe that was plan, D of like, I just want people to think about me when they leave the store.
Now we're talking about him. So it works.
Well done. Any other new and exciting things happening for you inside of San Francisco?
Nope.
I saw a bag of Coke on BART, sat next to someone that smelled like a thick, thick, thick bowl of oatmeal. Other than that, normal week.
Wow, dude. Congrats. That's Thank a big you. Deal.
Yeah. I tweeted Bart the picture.
I saw that.
And I said, can we get this to a lost and found? I thought that was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, pretty normal week outside of that. Nothing crazy, which I'm like, you know, wipe the sweat from my brow. I'm feeling good about it.
It's good.
You had something exciting happen this week, though.
Yeah.
On a
Monday.
A brisk Monday.
It was the day the podcast came out last week.
Yep.
But we recorded it a few days prior, so we could not talk about it. I did a little bit of stand-up comedy for the first time.
Well done, my man.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you. I'm mad at you, but well done.
I wish you could have been there to support me.
No, you don't wish that. No, you really don't wish that because there were so many opportunities. So you don't wish it. You don't need to lie to our close friends and listeners here.
How I wish you were there.
You don't wish it. That's fine. I'm mad at you about it. Proud of you for doing it.
Thank you.
But fill me in. Give me the deets because I really haven't talked to you about it.
Yeah, we haven't actually mentioned, like I mentioned it quickly over text, but that's it. It went well. I had two goals going in. Number one goal was to not be the worst one.
Check.
Number two goal was to get like at least one, like everybody laughing at one time.
Nice.
Not just some chuckles here.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to report, I think both happened.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped.
Did that feel good?
It did feel good.
I mean, definitely the first one, that's kind of like almost a given, but thank God that checked off the list. But that second one, that's got to feel good.
It was good.
What was the joke? What was the bit?
I did I think there were like two times everybody was laughing.
Nice.
Which was cool. And it was only 4 minutes.
Take it easy. This guy does one stand up over here.
Call me Kevin Hart.
What's your tour, bud?
Yeah, I should start touring maybe because I did one.
You did one. Keep it going. What's to say it's not a tour after the second one?
That's true. I'm touring. You just can't find the list.
4 or 6 months apart.
I did a little bit about the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Mentioned it briefly, but got interrupted by you yelling at me last week.
Yeah, I was mad. Can't blame me for that.
About how I went to the reason I don't. This is a made up story.
Sure. So don't tell. Sure.
Don't tell anyone.
Are you trying to tell me that all stand up comedy is not based on true events?
No, I can say that. I told a story about why I don't like basketball, and it's because when I was younger, my dad took me to a basketball game, and I loved it, but it turned out I was at a Harlem Globetrotters show.
That's a good one. I like that one.
And so in comparison, all basketball sucks to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, what did you follow that with? What kind of like stand-up comedian would you consider yourself to be? Are you like a
racist.
Do you say like you have a?
I don't
know. Because there's some comedian like Jim Gaffigan, like when his monologues, right? Or on the piano. He just has
Jim, one, not Jim Gaffigan.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis. Yeah.
He has one joke.
Yeah.
Next joke. No streamline, no fluidity towards it. Just, this is funny. I'm going to say this now.
I would say I don't know because I've done it once and I don't think I like have a voice. Okay. I don't know my voice.
Well, yet. I mean, how did this one play out?
But
did
mine was mostly like stories.
Okay. Did it like seem like go through it?
Yeah, it kind of flowed. I had it like, I wrote it all out, which something I was surprised about after is I talked to the lady who's hosting the show. Her name is Pam. Shout out Pam. She was a sweet lady.
Pam.
And she said that like, she was talked to me after and she was like, I could tell you were new, but, which,
that was a little stink.
No. It wasn't worded in a
big way. Okay.
She's like, I could tell you're new. Like, how long have you been doing it? And I said, this is my first time. And then she seemed a little surprised, nice. Which is cool.
That's good. That was all right, cool. There you go. Lift that nose up.
And so she said that most people who go up for the first time don't like write anything. They just like go up and kind of start talking.
Weird.
And it's not good, which I wouldn't have expected.
No.
So she was like, the fact that you took time and wrote stuff out and had to set up punchline. She's like, you're ahead of the curve.
God, look at you.
Which
go.
Is great. I felt good about that. Then I talked to another guy afterward who like gave me some like information on like how to find more open mics and stuff.
Nice.
So it was cool. I liked it a lot.
So what did you follow up the, I'm not trying to hit into your whole bit obviously, but like, what'd you follow? What was the next joke after the
it was kind of like,
how'd you streamline that
one? I set it up as in like looking like there's defining moments in everybody's
nice.
Lives.
Okay, cool.
One of them was that. Another one was when I found out my nana was racist.
Did you do that a little bit? Cause I heard that one was a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Thankfully I didn't. Oh, I don't want to get into that.
Nah,
but, it all went well and I was happy with it.
Nice, dude.
I started off, here's how I started it off. This is one that got some good laughs. So I was pumped on it. My name's Caleb Tegeler. I'm 21. I'm recently divorced, which surprises most people. And then I heard some people in the audience who were like, oh wow, like he's divorced. So yeah, I was like, surprises most people because I've never been married. And that everybody like chuckled and like laughed after that. So that felt really good to start off strong. I like that.
That's a good way to do it.
I thought it was funny.
That's amazing. Well done. How many people were in the room?
So it was technically like a workshop. And so it was only comedians in the room.
That's cool.
Everybody was there. So you do a 4-minute set.
Did it feel more comfortable with that, like comedians in the room, or did it more intimidating?
At first I thought it was going to be kind of intimidating, but once you got there, it was like super, super supportive. Everybody was like there to help each other out. So it felt really cool. And honestly, I like wasn't that nervous going up.
How'd you find this place?
I just looked up different places.
Nice.
Yeah. But it was a workshop, so you do a 4-minute set, and then they do a 4-minute critique.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They so straight up critiqued you right on that, right then.
Yeah.
So, what would you take away from it?
One thing I knew is, like, I don't do a lot of public speaking.
Sure.
Haven't done very much so in my life. And so I think I have a lot of quirks, maybe. That I need. Like, I rock back and forth. I know I do, and I try not to.
Dude.
And I do, she mentioned I do this thing where I go, and she's like, microphone picks that up so loud. Okay. You got to cut that out. And she's like, cut it out as soon as possible. And I was like, great. Thank you. There was some stuff there. And then they were saying that like they felt like I had a lot of good premises for jokes and they were all good. But like being able to like elaborate a little bit more and like dramatize them a little bit to kind of stretch them out so that I can like get more out of each one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But that all comes with time and practice. So
yeah. The the bouncing or whatever.
Yeah,
they said, dude, every. I mean, that's where. For example, David Escobedo, friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
David, if you're listening, you will laugh at this because this is what you do. You walk across the stage, you stop, you do two bounces, pop, pop.
You pointed it out to me a few weeks
pop,
ago.
Pop, pop. Boom, and you move on. And then apparently what I do is I do a thing where I'm like holding an orb in my hand, like out like that. That's what I do. Tim Biddle, what he does, you check this out next time he speaks, back of the little thigh, grabs it, and then goes back up. Dylan Baker, he goes like deep and low and like he kind of crouches.
It.
Yeah, like he gets into it. Everyone's got a little thing. Those are the things you can't really shake, which you're fine. That's a good one.
You got to cut that out.
Yeah, that's a good one to try to shake.
Yeah. But I will say, I've never seen David Espedo on stage other than like announcements, but I've seen you, I've seen Dylan, Tim, all of you guys are great. You like command the stage. Super good.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I there's like part of me that would think it'd be fun to do stand-up comedy only for the sake of, I think it'd be fun to write the jokes. I don't want to be the one to deliver them. I honestly think it'd be fun to like,
dude, write me some stuff.
But dude, that's, I think that's where you, I think that's probably where like you get the worst rep ever is like being the writer, right? Like that's a,
you don't want that.
A ghostwriter? No way. But it'd be funny to like, cause I like the idea of creating that. And, when you were doing, when was it? Like it was last year sometime when you were planning on coming up to San Francisco when you were in Vacaville still to do stand up and you were telling me about your bit that you were doing. Yeah. Like just talking with you about it. That was like, oh, that's really fun to do.
Yeah.
So I think I should be a professional writer for stand up comedians.
Ghost writer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there's any problem with that. When's the next little round, Caleb? When you doing it?
I think what's today? Friday? I know next Saturday night, but I think I'd like to do something before that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I go to this one or what?
I'll let you know, man.
God. God damn it. Caleb.
Listen, let me say this. Let me try to ease your mind a little bit. This is something that to me is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
To do. And so.
What do you have to lose?
Listen. It's absolutely terrifying for me to do. It's something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So
and you did it
in
already.
Order for me to do this, I need to make it as easy for myself as possible.
Sure. But this is something that if
in my mind,
let me backtrack a little bit.
If in my mind, people I know not being there makes it easier. Oh, I'd love so much for people I know not to be there.
Did you say this is something you've always wanted to do though?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So then what's stopping you from just getting to the next step? Of having people there. You know what I mean? Just having people you know there. This is something you wanted. Something you always wanted to do. Why not share that experience with others? And if, you know, you get some butterflies in your belly, sure. You know, get a little sweats on the palms. Why not? That's going to happen. That's natural. But imagine how much more exciting it's going to be when you get to the second time you do stand-up comedy with someone else there with you that you already know.
Yeah.
Because you already conquered the first time. And why not happen sooner?
Let me say this.
Because this is something you've always wanted to do, and this is something you're going to continue to do. Yeah. Caleb, when is the excuses going to stop, Caleb?
I don't know if it's excuses.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Listen, as soon as I'm ready, you're the first person I'm going to tell.
I don't believe you.
Unless you want to come up and do one with me. Then you're welcome to come anytime.
There's the kicker.
Like, for instance, my sister Michaela. She's going to come up and do it. That's why I'm going Saturday.
Oh, is she?
She's going to try it Saturday.
I'll talk to her. I'll figure out where she's
going. Mr. Anthony Onisco, he says he'd be down to try it.
I swear to God, if you have your sister and Anthony
in the room, going up.
What difference does it make at that point?
Because at that point, like, it's embarrassing for all of us.
No, it's not embarrassing. You think I'm going to get down and be like, it was good, bud. No. We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later. So we'll end this part, this topic in just, I just have one more thing I want to say. And that's that I'm used to doing this podcast, got headphones in. I can hear myself loud and clear.
Yeah.
And so it was very weird talking on a microphone and like.
Not hearing.
You like can't, it's weird.
Yeah.
You can't really hear yourself.
No.
And I was not expecting that. It kind of threw me off.
Would you ever want to do like announcements at the church?
Yeah, I'd do.
You should.
Yeah.
It's a good because that's like another option like where you don't hear anything. It just helps you get like
on a different stage. Threw me off and I was like, caught me off guard for a second. So
yeah, no, I don't do it, man.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone in a big, big way.
Yeah.
Audio is a big one.
Yeah.
No wedge mics or whatever in front of you to nothing. Just out there. Grinding.
Grinding.
Gary V grinding.
All right, let's move on to the next one. You want to introduce it?
Yes. The black hole.
Dun, dun, dun.
You've heard of it.
You've seen it.
But have you seen the real thing?
Find out next week.
So, we have seen the very first actual picture of a real black hole.
Let me say something. That surprised me first off because I thought we already had seen it.
Same. Very much the same.
Maybe that means we're both dumb, but I thought we had seen this years
ago. Honest to God, when I was watching Interstellar.
Is that the one with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah. Like the.
All right.
Did you see. You've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a smart movie.
I've only seen it like once.
You should rewatch it. Yeah, you should rewatch it. You got to be involved with that one.
Yeah.
Big fan. But after you watch it like intensely the first time, you're good to like just kind of have it on in the background and you can kind of pick up new little bits. Anyways, with that movie, they had scientists and like astrophysicists and legit people on the production team or whatever.
Matthew McConaughey. He was there as well.
Yeah. Most importantly, he was the forerunner of all scientific discovery for that movie. Uh-huh. But they had like real scientists on the set to basically make sure that everything was scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
So when they came to the black hole in that movie, spoiler alert, 4 years ago, this movie Interstellar came out and they had a scene where the black hole. So spoiler alert, watch the movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, black hole was there. And like, I guess that wasn't the real thing, but from what I understood, and I think it might still be true, that was the most accurate image of what a black hole would look like. But I just assumed like that was something we already knew because you've seen it so many times in like so many science fiction movies and shows and science shows and all these other things. You see the black hole. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think there's that much creativity that has to go into what a black hole looks like because you think of what a black hole. And it's a black hole. Sure. Black circle hole. Which we weren't too far off, but we were very much off.
Yeah.
Because we have now seen the real thing, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
A little bit wild. What do you think about it?
It was a black hole. I don't know. I don't have much thoughts on the hole itself. You know what I mean?
It makes me wonder. So here's what I'll tell you.
What's on the other side?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Go through
here's
the thing.
Here, like,
how hard could it be?
We were already almost there. So we have all these ideas of what what can happen with a black hole. Like it's a wormhole.
It's like time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dimensional travel.
Like how accurate is that though? You know what I mean? Like
I think it's all just theories.
Just theories. So now are we going to actually like, I imagine. So again, I mean, I don't know much about where this black hole is that they took a picture of and like all that kind of thing.
It's in space.
Got that much figured out.
Yeah.
But like light years away, I don't know.
Yeah.
Are we going to get something through it? You know what I mean? Like, is that the next step? Like we've seen it. We know where it's at. We've taken a picture of it. Does it move?
Have you seen the videos of people like sending bread into space and all that?
No.
You haven't seen these?
No.
It's like they get a balloon and they attach it to a piece of bread and then it flies up into space and they have a GoPro on it.
You know what I think you're thinking of?
What?
It's similar, but it's a balloon that you swallow with drugs in it so you can get it across the border.
Not what I was...
Different?
Yeah, different.
Okay.
It's a different thing. So bread they attach balloons. Bread to balloons.
Got it.
Bread's just an example. You can attach anything if you really try hard enough.
Got it.
But then they attach a GoPro and you can just see this bread in space. That's a video I saw.
Yeah.
My question is, what would you like to send through it? Garlic bread?
Monkeys. So many monkeys.
What do we have too much of on this planet? Send all of it through. See where it comes out.
I think there's like some theories on it of, I don't think that it is an actual portal in which you can just hop right on through and like.
I think most things would die if they went in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, I think that's where science fiction has taken some creative liberties for sure. And they're just going to go ahead and assume that. I feel like, taking a black hole, doesn't it, again, I'm not a scientist and I didn't even, look into it too much more than just the shock and awe of the reality of getting the first real picture of it. Doesn't a black hole start by like a collapsed star? Does that ring a bell?
Sounds great.
I think that's what it is. So ultimately it's just intense, like it's insane density beyond measure. So my guess is I just feel like maybe you're not going to go ahead and just slip something through that with it being like, yeah, come on through. I'm good now. Like I had a moment for sure. It was a little bit crazy back there, a couple thousand light years ago, but I'm good.
So my thought on this is that everything, all the Twitter headers I saw, all the news articles were all titled like female scientist takes picture of the first black hole.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Great.
Congratulations. But to me, it would make more sense to say, and the scientist's name was Kate Bauman.
Yeah.
It would make more sense to say scientist Kate Bauman.
Yes.
Takes picture of the first black hole. And not to say that it isn't an impressive, it's an impressive thing to, for anybody to do. But I feel like putting first female scientist, first off, I think it takes away from her.
Yes. 80% of it is gone now.
Second off, I think it changes the conversation of what this amazing thing is to something of like, maybe not, it changes the conversation from like this amazing thing that just happened to like, see, women can do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah,
of course,
of course.
And of course they can.
It gets to this joke that Anthony Onisco and I have where we say like, oh no, no, I respect you as a woman. And that's funny because it's like so derogatory and negative and offensive to say. And I feel like all the titles that I saw are doing the same thing of like, oh, look, a woman can do it.
The title reads, female found first picture of the black hole. Subtitle is, without a boy's help.
Without no man.
Yeah, Kate Bauman.
Yeah.
Credit Kate Bauman.
But throw her name right on the title.
Just hit that one. Because, yes, are you kidding me? Like, what are you accomplishing? You will accomplish more if you just give Amelia Earhart. We know who that is.
Yeah.
We don't have to assume that was anything other than a woman. Kate Bauman, registered woman.
And it's not like a name where it could be like, I don't know, what's it, like Jesse. Like,
yeah.
That could be a male or female name. It's like Kate.
Kate.
Like, that's a mainly female. I've never met a man with that name. So hearing the name Kate Bauman, I assume, and sorry to assume, but I assume.
Isn't that weird how you really do have to kind of like balance that a little
but
bit?
But I assume, yeah. Like, oh, that is a female's name. And so
and well
using context
females.
Clues, you'd, I can say, yeah. Oh, I bet she's a female scientist.
Yeah.
I don't need you throwing that at me. And I don't want this to sound negative of like, oh, that hurts my feelings as a man. Like, that's not it. It's just like, yeah. Give her some credit.
Give her some credit.
I don't
Good
think
job,
we
females.
Need to change the conversation. This is an amazing feat that just happened.
Also, and I get it. This is again, I believe you said it. This is two males talking about feminism.
No, we need more of that.
We need more of that in this America here. I'm not saying, I think that there are the majority of men in this generation that would agree. This is women and men equal, fully and totally. Like whether the, you know, there's certain, I don't even know. Again, a bunch two guys talking about feminism. We're naive to this for sure. Yeah. I'm not saying that aren't stipulations
as a woman.
I'm not saying there aren't stipulations and stereotypes and all these other things towards women for sure. But like, I think most men in this generation ultimately want equality between men and female, male and female, right? And so to put the headline as female found in black hole, that does nothing but like add a tally mark. You're adding tally marks now. So it's like, okay, cool. Well, guess what? Now a male is going to be the first one to find the second black hole. Like, cool. Now tally mark on men.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't do anything.
If in a perfect world, we think of it this way, we wouldn't say man scientist takes picture of the first black hole. Like, that's a dumb thing. You don't need that.
Yeah.
And so in a perfect world, wouldn't we say man or female?
Need. Yeah, scientist.
So,
you know,
if we're aiming for a perfect world, shouldn't that be how we do it?
We're not in a perfect world, Caleb.
And you're right. So maybe we shouldn't do it. Maybe there's arguments of like, maybe putting female could inspire other people to push themselves and do something even more amazing.
True. But I also say this, let's say, because it was female, not females, right?
Yeah.
So if it was a group of females, maybe then it makes more sense to not individually write out Kate, Michelle, Megan, Brittany, like the list goes on. Like all these people found it out in the headline, right? Females discovered. Sure, that makes more sense. But it's an individual we're talking about here, Kate Bauman. And that is the one that we should really be focusing on. And it's not, you're not doing anything to accomplish, like Kate Bauman found this. Like the woman Kate Bauman is the one to help discover this. That's who this belongs to. And by proxy, a female is going to get credit for it. Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And again, us being the generation that we are, of course, we're not going to be like, we think this is ridiculous because we both fully agree.
I don't think she should have found it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like they're not going to say the boss of Kate Bowman if he's some dude like Bob Richards. Bob Richards' subordinate, Kate Bowman, found them. Like, that's not what we're... Yeah, like, if that was the case, the world would literally be on fire at that point, right? But, yeah, I don't... We do no justice to that in that case.
So, from us to you, Kate Bowman, we want to say...
Cha-wing.
Congratulations. It's an amazing thing you did, and we're thankful for you and the whole female race.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. Well done, Kate Bowman. Like, that's it.
Now let's get straight into that black hole.
Yeah.
Let's try going in there.
Let's dive into it. You know, I don't think it's a question that a lot... I don't think it's, like, an obvious question that everyone's asking. But I feel like maybe it opens up a more level of seriousness. You think aliens are out there, Caleb, or what?
Yeah,
because, I mean... You think so?
Yeah.
But tell me why.
Well, I'm conflicted. I just think, I want there to be okay. aliens. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
I'd be into it.
Okay.
Wink. I'd be into it. But then also, like, we have no proof.
Sure.
We've never
literally seen. Nothing.
There's like, nothing out there. And you think by now we'd have seen something, right? Something that is a... Even, like, all the conspiracy theories out there are not that solid.
Yeah, they're not that concrete.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like...
But then you think about the size of the universe and you're like, just us?
Yeah, right? But then you think of how much we've discovered of the universe and how little evidence we have. And then you could also say, like, it's just us. Like, at the very same time. But yeah, there's some post on Twitter. Someone was like... What the alien race is saying about humans, like, congratulations, you've made it to kindergarten when we found the black hole. Like, yeah, maybe. But also at the same time, maybe
not. Why don't you get down here, aliens?
Like, it's an interesting thought to me, okay, right? Like, the universe is ever expanding. I can't imagine we've even scratched the surface of what we've discovered, right? So it's easy to assume there's something more out there, but why do we immediately assume it's an advanced life?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. Why advanced? I mean? Like, maybe they're not as smart as us.
Right. But we immediately assume, like, guy. Oh, UFOs, hyperspeed, like light speed, like all these great things that are just going to happen. But, like, you know, they're so much smarter than us. Why aren't we, like, where's the credit that we get, we deserve?
I think it was a Chris D'Elia thing. He was talking about, like, if aliens are out there, why would they come here? If they watch one of our alien movies, they see how we just destroy them every time. So why would they think we're peaceful? Scared of aliens hurting us, but it's like every movie we make, it's us hurting
destroy
them.
Destroy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. That's exactly what it is. Like, I mean, and then what do we have to offer? I guess we're just a different species. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm obviously if we went knowledge. And we found
Ty
knowledge.
Lopez.
We have Ty Lopez's. We have your Gary V's.
You teach them how to grind.
But, like, yeah, obviously, if we found an alien life form, we're not going to be like, oh, yeah. All right, cool. Let's get back to Earth.
Here's,
like,
my question.
It'll be a thing.
Face to face, two alien life forms, us and another one, right?
Yeah.
We're about equal technologically.
Okay.
Who do you think dissects who first?
Oh, we dissect. Are you kidding me? You kidding me?
We're vicious people.
Oh my God. Sixth grade, you're pulling apart frogs limb by limb.
You think
to see what happens. What's on the inside? Curiosity in and of itself. Are you kidding
me? Made out of, I don't know. What's it want to tell us first?
Oh my God, no. Are you laid on a table? Give me a spackle.
How fast
quick.
Do you think we try to dissect that first?
Give me that thing so fast. I want to rip this thing apart.
Have you seen E.T. the extraterrestrial? That's
they
the first thing we tried
that thing to
do.
Ask it questions? They had a knife in hand. They said, I want to rip the guts out of this thing. I just want to see what it's made of. Poke around a little bit. No, that's for sure what we're going to do. It's not a question about it. It's just a matter of who gets on the table first.
And then after that, they see we're not peaceful because we just killed and tore apart one of their people.
With a smile on our face, I might add.
Yeah.
Because did you ever dissect frogs in school? Oh, yeah. You weren't doing that with, like, a sad frowny face. You
Some
had a couple.
Were.
Yeah, you had a couple in the class for sure. But in the event of an alien life form making it onto the planet... We're not going to get those people in there. We're getting the people that were so excited about it, that were almost too excited about it.
Yeah.
We're getting those guys in there front and center who knows, maybe these aliens have the you know, a video camera in their eyes or something at that point. You're going to see this nasty little dirty smile creeping down on these aliens as we just shred that thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Pull out its innards.
Easy.
All right, one more question before I close this thing out. Let's say we discover aliens. There's a chip, alien chip above us, and we have to send up one person.
Mm-hmm.
To represent the human race.
Oh my gosh.
Who would you pick? Could be a famous person, could be someone you know, could be, let's say, someone who's already dead, anybody.
That's a big question. Did you see that video of Bill Gates dancing?
yeah, that was good.
I might be the one. I want to get the Bill Gates dancing up there.
All those guys. That was a good video. My first thought went to like Bill Murray.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But then someone who could kind of play it cool.
Maybe Samuel L. Jackson.
That might be too intense.
You think?
Yeah, I might be too intense. I don't know of a Samuel L. Jackson that I can't think of a Samuel L. Jackson where I'm like, I could relax with that guy. Bill Murray, relax 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in zombie apocalypse, he's still a good guy that you want to be around.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Bill Murray might be the one.
Oh, maybe Michael Cera.
That's true. He might be a little skittish, a little jumpy though. But he could be very nonchalant. Yeah. I read this thing a long time ago where it was like Michael Cera seems like the guy that wasn't supposed to be an actor, but he just walked on set and hasn't admitted to anyone that he wasn't supposed to be there. That might be that situation where he's just like, I don't know. I guess I'm part of this now. That's my Michael
Cera. What's up, aliens?
That might be a good one. Maybe someone, like, if we can send a couple people up, maybe we get the whole rounded box of like overconfident, maybe like a Mark Wahlberg type. Yeah. You want some strong confidence up there.
As long as the aliens aren't Chinese, then yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He did beat up the Chinese man, the blind Chinese man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know about that?
No.
Before he was famous, he like beat up a Chinese man and he's blind now.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It was before he was famous.
Oh, okay. Who cares then?
Yeah.
Off the record.
All those Wahlbergs were like in jail.
They were tough boys. They were tough guys. That's kind of why I think we should set him up there. If we're sending Bill up there, we need a strong number two.
Yeah.
To like protect him.
He's the butch.
Yeah. So I think Bill Murray and
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson would be a safe bet as well.
You think he might get like too curious?
Well, they say that, and I don't know if it's true, but they say that like math is a universal language.
Yeah.
He knows plenty of that.
He knows math for sure. He knows numbers.
If Stephen Hawking was alive, but then they might think we're all in wheelchairs.
I'm not trying to be rude. That just might give a bad rep for him. You know what I mean?
We want to go up. Somewhere.
You know what I'm saying? We want to send strong.
Not to say
that he's not strong, but you know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like a Terry Crews. That would be a good example of the human race. Well, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of the Expressive Voice Podcast. We appreciate you for listening. And I'm Keyboard.
Shout out to Caitlin. Hopefully this podcast kept you alive during your commute.
Yeah. Shout out to... What happened?
Oh, she just said that this helps her keep her alive during commute.
Oh, shout out.
Shout out to Dylan. You learned a lesson. You don't listen to this funny, 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 funny podcast in the gym anymore because...
Yeah, this
you
is
got
a PSA.
Crick in your neck. All right, this is a PSA from your boys to your boy. Take care of yourself out there, huh, kids?
Yeah.
I'm your bad boy, Expressive Boy, Brandon Thomas.
I'm your cute boy, Expressive Boy, Caleb Tegler.
God bless America.
How happy can you look? How sad can you look? How angry can you look?